Welcome to Walking in the Word, the weekly teaching series by pastor, teacher, evangelist Eric W. Stansberry, located in Las Vegas, Nevada. This podcast is brought to you every week with the hope of blessing you to find to strengthen your walk with Christ. And now, your teacher, Pastor Stansberry.
Hello to everybody there in the Georgia area, Chattanooga, Cleveland, Dalton area. I'm going to be at the City View Church of God, May 31st through June the 4th. Service times will be Monday through Friday at 7, Saturday at 6, and then Sunday will be in the morning service at 11 and the evening service at 6. Also, don't forget that the church is located at 3688 Chatsworth Road, Southeast, Dalton, Georgia. The zip code there is 30721. Invite somebody to come out. Come out yourself expecting that faith is going to rise up in you and your family and that God is going to change your circumstances. I can't wait to see you there. Again, that is May the 31st through June the 4th, City View Church of God there in Dalton, Georgia. Come be with us. Invite somebody, and I'm looking forward to. Hello, everyone. Welcome today to this Mother's Day edition of Restoration. We're still in Hebrews 11. We're still looking at the life of faith. So before we get started, just a quick review. When we talk about the life of faith, the word faith is the word pistis, which means that you have confidence in the one making the promise, so the character of God, that you believe that what the promises that he makes, he's able to keep. Bearing that in mind, as we've gone through these people of the faith, we've talked about that Abel worshipped by faith, that Enoch walked by faith, and Abraham went by faith. And now we're going to look at Abraham's wife, Sarah, and how that she was a partaker of a promise that was made to Abraham that included her. We're in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 through 12. By faith, even though Sarah herself was barren and he was too old, he received the ability to procreate because he regarded the one who had given the promise to be trustworthy. So in fact, children were fathered by one man, and this one as good as dead, like the number of stars in the sky, and like the innumerable grains of the sand on the seashore. So Abraham and Sarah had been promised by God a child, the child Isaac. And sometimes we get hung up on Abraham, the man of faith. And I want to kind of shift our view a little bit here in Mother's Day to talk about Sarah. Understand that not only was Abraham past his prime, but Sarah was also past her childbearing age. She was 90 years old. I don't know about you, but if at 90 I talked to my wife and said, hey, you're going to have a child, and at 90 she'd probably strangle me. But notice in Genesis 15 and 4, a promise had already been made about a coming child. Abraham was worried who was going to carry on his lineage. So he thought this in Genesis 15 and 4, then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man Eliezer will not be your heir, but he who shall come from your own body shall be your heir. So Sarah wants to help Abraham. She's heard the promise, and a lot of times that's people, we hear what God has promised us, and we try to find a way to help. So in Genesis 16 and 2, she does this. See here, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. I am asking you to go into the bed of my maid so that she may bear you a child, and perhaps I will obtain by her, children by her. And Abram listened to Sarai and did as she said. Of course, we know how that story plays out. You have Ishmael. He and Isaac don't get along, and even today, here some 4,000 years later, we are still battling the idea of Ishmael and Isaac. But God had to come back and redo the promise with Abraham in Genesis 17 and 7. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout the generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. Then in Genesis 18, the angels are visiting with Abraham and says this, where is your Sarah, your wife? Then he said, they are in the tent. He said, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Sarah, Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in years, and she was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself when she heard the Lord's word, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure and delight my Lord husband, being also old. And the Lord asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh to herself, saying, shall I really give birth to a child when I am so old? Is anything too difficult or too wonderful for the Lord? at the appointed time, when the season for her delivery comes, I will return to you, and Sarah will have a son. Then Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, because she was afraid. And he, the Lord, said, no, but you did laugh. Well advanced in years, it had ceased to be with Sarah, as with young women. She was past the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become age, shall I have pleasure and delight my Lord husband? So what begins to happen is that Sarah says, look, I'm old. I can't have children. The angel said, yes, you will have a child, and you laughed. And she says, no, I didn't laugh. So to understand that he made a promise, he says, it's going to happen. Notice what he says here. Is there anything too difficult, verse 14, or too wonderful for the Lord? At the appointed time, when the season for her delivery comes, I will return. At the appointed time. The promise was made according to the time of life. Now in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8, it was a song. We've quoted, for everything there is a season. Some of you, God has made promises in your life, and you're wondering when. Yet God is saying, I need you to know, at the appointed time. Because God's promises follow his timetable. In Galatians 4, but when in God's plan the proper time had fully come, God sent his son, born of woman, born under the regulations of the law. In God's appointed time, he sent his son to be our sacrifice, to die in our place. So understand that if you're looking at Sarah and Abraham's situations, particularly Sarah's situation in the natural, she's old. She's well stricken in years, 90 years old. And in women, that when they reach a certain age, they go through menopause, when the menstrual cycle ceases. It's what's called menopause. It's kind of pause. And so when you look at that picture, her reaction is just what your reaction would be, or my reaction would be. We laugh. Is this too hard? But notice that God is used to asking the hard questions. The questions that say where we are. In Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 3, after he's shown Ezekiel a valley of complete dry bones, he says this, son of man, can these bones live? It is our answer in those moments. It is our answer in those moments that testify, do we have faith or fear? Are we on his agenda or the enemy's agenda? Ezekiel said, oh Lord, you know. He says, God, I don't even know what the answer is. But you know the answer. When the angel came to Mary in Luke and said, you're highly favored. Well, she's around going, I'm about to be highly favored with an illegitimate son according to the flesh. But after the angel had explained what was going to happen, her response was, even according to your word, let it be. According to your word. So we have to look beyond our circumstances. Faith says, it's not about what I see. It's not about what my senses tell me. It's what my renewed mind tells me based on Scripture. In Mark's Gospel, 39 verses 3, 39 through, 5, 39 through 40, we know the story. You know the story. Jesus is going in to raise Jairus' daughter. And when he gets there, there were people, professional mourners, that were doing their thing. People were doing all the things that they do. Jesus said to them, he goes, look, your daughter is not dead. She's only sleeping. To the flesh, no pulse, room temperature body, no movement, the child is dead. In the eyes of faith, she's not dead, she's asleep. And then he put everybody out of the room except for the father, the mother, and Peter, James, and John, because he needed people in there that had faith. You know, sometimes we limit God, and it's scriptural, because of our unbelief. Because we can't see, we've not renewed our mind. I preached last Sunday night at Denton Church of God on the renewed mind. And the renewed mind doesn't see things in the flesh. The renewed mind sees things according to God's word. And that is a mind shift for a lot of people, because we're so used to living. You know, science says that you go by what you can test, what is testable, what is with your senses. And if you want to test God, he says, put him to the test when it comes to tithing. Put him to the test. Trust his word and see what he can do for you. So not only was she kind of doubting what her senses told her, she's also logical. You know, Captain Spock, very logical. But notice what happened in Matthew 13 and 58. He said, And he did not do many mighty miracles in Nazareth. Why? Because of their unbelief. He healed a few people, but the power was there to heal everybody, but not everybody got a healing. Sometimes the healing that we get or don't get has not as much to do with, you know, what we're believing, but the faith and the environment that we're in. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the Word of God. Faith comes from hearing and hearing, not that I heard it one time. You have to meditate on the Scriptures, build up your most holy faith, according to Jude 20 and 21. So the idea being that we have to focus on building up our most holy faith. In John 12 and 37, he says this, even though he had done so many signs and miracles right before them, yet they still did not believe, and they failed to trust him. They still did not believe. They failed to trust him. Do you understand that many times we'll see a miracle right in front of us, but we think it's not for us, it's for that person. It's not for us, it's for this person. And what God is trying to get to you and me is, it is for you and your descendants, your sons and your daughters. Notice, if you will, in John chapter 3, verse 11, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, we speak only of what we absolutely know and testify about what we have actually seen. And still you reject our evidence and do not accept our testimony. So in your life, you have to speak what you know. Out of the abundance of the heart does the mouth speak. You have to speak what you know. What I know is in Scripture. I know that God says he sent his word to heal diseases. I know that Peter tells me that by his stripes I was healed. I know that if I wait upon the Lord, I'll renew my strength. The idea being that I have to get to the place that I speak what I know. I speak what I believe. I speak, even though it may be contrary to my circumstances, that's what we speak. Sarah had to understand it, and she did. She didn't believe it first, but when he changed her name to Sarah, and the word Ha from Hashem was in there, the name, every time she said Sarah, every time Abraham's name was called, it reminded them that God had made them a promise. When you and I get to the place in our own spiritual experience that we speak what we see and then we testify to what we've experienced. We are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Do you know that your testimony may build the faith up of another person? If you've been healed of heart disease, cancer, or other things, when you get up and you testify to those things, that God has healed me, God has transformed me, there are people that have problems in their life. That's what they need to hear, that God has something for them, that God still heals. That's why the testimony of Jesus is called the Spirit or the prophet, the spirit of prophecy. Because a prophecy will change the life of a person then and changes their future forward. When we prophesy, that doesn't mean that you can say, thus saith the Lord, that tomorrow your house is going to crash in on you, or you're going to win the lottery. But as it says that I had spots on my brain that told me that I was supposed to get Parkinson's disease, but God healed me. And I can testify to others going through the same when the doctor gives you bad news. If you can but yet trust him and walk in his word and let his word speak to your heart and you begin to speak those words out of your mouth and come into agreement, God can change the situation. So we have to speak what we know. We have to testify to what we've experienced. But also understand that there will still be people who just will not believe you. Now, how was God's reaction? So understand that here is Sarah's reaction. She's laughed, and we've given you the reasons why she laughed. What was God's reaction? First of all, God asks us the very question, why do you doubt what I can do? You understand that God doesn't mind that we question him inquisitively, but never accusatively. But when we come to him and say, Father, I don't understand. The man that had the son that was in demon possession, or was demonized, he said, help, I believe, help thou my unbelief. There becomes a point in time that you have to say, I don't understand, but by your word, according to your word, I believe you. God says, why do you doubt me? The second thing that God will, he'll say, look, I watch over my promise. We are told in his word that his words do not return back to him void. They will accomplish what he sent them to do. Understand this, that God does not make a promise. He doesn't say anything in his word that the word itself does not contain all the power needed to bring it to pass. A word from God, a rhema word from God, contains all of the power that you need to bring that promise to pass. He goes, I will perform my promise. I will watch over my promise, and I will return to verify my promise. God doesn't make you a promise and just leave you hanging on for dear life. He makes you a promise. He goes, I'm coming to check on you. When we begin to pray, we begin to build ourselves up by praying in tongues and begin to pray in the Spirit. He comes back to check that we're still hanging on to the promise. Paul would have, I don't believe, really understood the impact that the letters that he wrote to the early church was going to have some 2,000 years later in this church age. That Paul maybe didn't understand the full scope of what he was going to do and what his life would speak to others, what his testimony would be. But at times, even when the early church would begin to come into this, they were hurting badly, they didn't know what to do, God would revisit with them. When they were told, don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus, and they prayed, God spoke, and he filled them again, and the place shook. When Paul would begin to pray for direction, God gave him direction. When Paul was in prison, it would have been easy for anybody to have said, well, I guess I'm toast. God visited him. He told Sarah, he tells all of you mothers that are praying for your lost loved ones, your sons, your daughters, even your husbands, don't stop praying. If I've made you a promise, I'll perform that promise. And I'll come back and check on you that you see the promise. Look in Psalms 119. I have sworn an oath and have confirmed it, and I will keep your righteous ordinances. Jeremiah 29 and 10. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years of exile have been completed for Babylon, I will visit, inspect you, and keep my good promise to you to bring you back to this place. So we see that he's made the promises. The second thing that we need to focus on, as every parent, as a mother especially, is you've seen God's faithfulness. Habakkuk said that after he had seen all that was going on in the world around him, yet I will choose, he said in verse 18 of chapter 3, to rejoice in the Lord. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9, therefore know without any doubt and understand that the Lord your God, he is God. The faithful God who is keeping his covenant and his steadfast loving kindness to 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. 1 Kings 8 and 56, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel in accordance with everything he promised. Not one word of his good promise has failed that he spoke through Moses his servant. And then as we started this series back 4 weeks ago in Hebrews chapter 10, let us seize and hold tightly to the confession of our hope, our faith. Don't give up on that confession. For he who is promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to what? To his word. It is very easy when we're going through troubles and trials and tribulations, it's very easy to just feel free to give up. But what he wants to remind you in every situation, God is faithful. He's been faithful to you. He's helped you in times of trouble. He saved you when you didn't know where things were going on. He's been there. He's been your healer. He's walked with you. And if he's been faithful in all this up to your point in your life, there's no reason to doubt now that he won't be faithful. God is faithful to his word. So you receive a promise from God, you'll go through all the things that our flesh wants to go to. But at the end of that, you come and say that God is faithful. But let's look at the other part of that coin. When Sarah looked, everything appeared dead. Because conception is natural. It always follows an act of intimacy. So for a person to get pregnant, physically, there is an act of intimacy. As far as Sarah was concerned, her womb was dead. But God. Now, what I want to apply this to in just a moment, if I can borrow, in the same way in your life, to get the promise of God to bear out in your life, there needs to be intimacy between you and God. The intimacy of relationship. Through the Holy Spirit, God impacted and impregnated Mary. So the kingdom of God touched the physical realm and impacted the eternal. A lot of times in your life, God wants to manifest in your life so that you reach out. Manifest in the physical so that it can pour out and push out and go into the eternal. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to overshadow us in that way. In Ephesians, Paul talks about when he's praying that first of all, that we would know that we would have the spirit of understanding and wisdom, that we'd grow in that, and that we would be able to understand the width, the length, the height, and the depth of the love of Christ. And then he says, so that we can be filled with the fullness of God. He wanted the church to be completely filled with that promise. But yet many of us in the church have yet to really experience that for the simple reason that we believe, or we believe the lie, that that's not there. So notice what Paul does in Ephesians chapter 3. He's talking about, in verse number 18, you'll be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and thus to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you will be filled up to all the fullness of God. That you are filled up to all the fullness of God. So intimacy wants to change. God wants that intimate relationship with you to change you, to impact the eternal, to impact your family. Mothers, you can impact your children in powerful ways. I don't want to discount the move that we need fathers, but we need mothers to show our young boys how women should be treated. We need mothers to show young ladies what it means to be a young lady, but more importantly, to be a lady and a woman of faith. To be a woman of faith. When we get to Father's Day, man, I'm going to come at you hard too, that we have to teach our men how to be men of faith. But he changes. The second thing I want you to notice is he changes so that we can share life and bring life. As our body changes, as the woman's body changes to accommodate that new life form, that symbiote, that baby, so our life needs to change from the inside out to accommodate the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Why was the fruit of the Spirit talked about in such heavy ways with Paul about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and those things? It's because those things exist above law. Those things exist above. If you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, the way you deal with others, you're not looking for ways to obey the law. It's a natural outgrowth. You'll obey the laws of the land. And then the gifts of the Spirit is how we reach out to others. The fruit of the Spirit is how we treat others and how we live our lives. That's our value system. But then the gifts of the Spirit are the way that we can then take that fruit and share it with others. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no guilty verdict to those who are in Christ, who believe in Him as personal Lord and Savior. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has set you free from the law of sin and of death. When you begin to get this new life in Christ, when you really begin to manifest, there's an impartation into your life. You realize that I am free from the curse. I'm free from when Satan comes starting to remind you of how you failed. I'm not that person anymore. All of us have had places where we fail, but once it goes under the blood of Jesus Christ and you repent and you walk away from it, it's gone. And no matter if people want to remind you of that or the devil wants to remind you of that, remind him that you've been redeemed from his curse. Romans 8 and 5, for those who are living according to the flesh, set their mind on things of the flesh, which gratify the body. Again, Romans 12 talks about the renewed mind, what goes on up here. A lot of our battles are won or lost right up here. He says, set their mind on the things of the Spirit, those who live according to the Spirit, and that's God's will and purpose for your life. You begin to search the Scriptures and say, Father, speak to me. You read the Word daily. There becomes a hunger for the Word of God. Delivering the promise, God always will bring a miracle. When you get intimate with God, when He begins to impart into you, there will be the miracle, the manifestation of what you're praying for. In God's time, our promise miracle bursts through, changing not only our lives and circumstances, but those around us. The way when a baby comes, He changes everybody. He changes the sleep patterns of the parent and the goals of that parent. The idea being that when that baby comes, when that miracle manifests, nothing will ever be the same again. My friends, some of you today on this Mother's Day have experienced a lot of things in your life that perhaps have brought you down, a loss of a job, the loss of a loved one. But can I share with you that in God's season, in God's timing, if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to fill those voids, in those moments of where you feel like that it's over, that it's done and grief has taken hold, in those moments, if you can simply praise the Lord and begin to say, I give you thanks, I give you praise, I give you glory, I give you honor, and let Him then manifest in your life an intimacy, that peace that passes all understanding, and begin to change you, that when what comes out of you, that birthing process of your miracle, will change not only your life, but the lives of those around you. There may be some of you watching this podcast today that say, well, this all sounds good, Dr. Stansberry. How do I get there? That you've never made the personal commitment to Jesus Christ. It's simple. You admit you're a sinner, that you need salvation. You believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God raised Him from the dead, and He's now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. Confess your sins to Him, for He is just and righteous to forgive your sins. And say, and accept His Lordship. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I name Jesus Christ as my Lord. Come into my heart. Change me. Some of you in the same way are saying, but Brother Eric, I'm sick in my body. I've got issues. If you can by faith take hold of the word that says, by His stripes you were healed. The healing is already there. Reach out and begin to take it by faith. And hang on to that taking it by faith until the physical lines up with His kingdom coming, His will being done on earth. Because authority always goes from the top down. And if you can get to that place in your life, you'll find the healing is on the way in ways you would never have thought possible. Can we pray? Father God, we thank You for all that have listened to this word today. We pray for our mothers, that they will be women of faith, helping their families to find You in the newness of life, and that they will be the wives and mothers and grandmothers and aunts and nieces, whatever role they find themselves in, to mother someone in the faith of Jesus Christ. And we give You the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll be right back with some announcements and some concluding thoughts. Have a great week. Thank you for joining us here on Restoration. Can I take a moment to pray for you? Father God, we thank You for those who are watching and listening to this broadcast. I pray that today will be a blessing to them, that they've been blessed, strengthened, and deepened in their walk with You. We give You praise for those souls who have come to Christ and for those who are walking by faith with You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please don't forget to email us at pastorstansberry@gmail.com. Reach out to us with your prayer requests in any way that we can help you, or even for daily or for bookings and speaking engagements. We're looking forward to this summer. We have some big news coming for Restoration. We'll be having hopefully a place to start an actual live brick-and-mortar Bible study in the very near future, and as part of starting also a ministry school and a school of theology to help people get where they want to go. So stay right tuned right here to Restoration as we look forward to restoring everything that God has taken, that the devil has taken from you, that God wants to restore, because we want to make disciples who are living letters to a dying world. Thank you. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Walking in the Word with Pastor, Teacher, Evangelist Eric W. Stansberry. Feel free to email Pastor Stansberry at pastorstansberry@gmail.com. We thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on Walking in the Word.